You know, Helga, maybe we were wrong about you. Maybe you're not like the rest of us.
You're right, Rhonda. I'm not like the rest of you. I'm not wearing a mask.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
We are so excited to start off the second season here of Next Door Villain with Helga G. Pataki.
She is awesome with awesome hair, awesome eyebrow, awesome everything. And we are so excited to have her as a character.
And if you've never heard of her before, she's from the show Hey Arnold, which was a Nickelodeon show when we were kids growing up.
Hey Arnold.
What is his last name?
That's a great question. Arnold Footballhead.
Yeah, actually, I think there was a movie that just came out where they released his last name for the first time.
Oh my gosh, a random name. That makes all the difference. Awesome.
Anyways, one of our listeners, Terrence, actually suggested that we do this episode, and we couldn't believe that we had not considered her before because we both watched Hey Arnold growing up and both really felt like she was a really cool, interesting character.
And I kind of think of Helga as kind of like this millennial icon because I think a lot of us watched her, a lot of millennials watched her growing up, and all of us loved and hated her, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to start off here, just like we normally do, with our 30-second competition to see who can give the best summary of the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's obviously been some time since we've recorded, because I completely forgot about this.
Yep. So if you're a new listener, this is how it works. We compete to see who can give a better summary, and we have 30 seconds to do so, and we have not prepared beforehand. The competition is pretty much just for fun, doesn't really mean anything, but we do have a poll on our Twitter account for a week after the episode is aired if you want to go on and vote to see who did a better job giving that summary.
Yeah, of course. And you can always make sure to vote for me because even though Joe says we don't prepare, I think he prepares.
Last season, I maybe prepared a little bit, but this season, I am completely unprepared.
Okay, so does that mean you want to go first?
I think because you were the overwhelming winner last season, you should go first.
Ooh, okay. Let me know when you push the go.
All right, I'll count you in. 3, 2, 1, go.
Helga Pataki is the best character in Hey Arnold because she is so awesome and likes to beat up Brainy and is awesome person. And that's all you really got to know, actually. The end.
Okay. good job.
See, it was even better because I did it in like 15 seconds this time, eh?
Yeah. Okay.
Joe's like, sure. Okay. Okay, Joe. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. Helga is an elementary school girl. She wears this bright pink dress and a big pink bow in her hair, and she has a unibrow. And she is very, very smart, but she's also kind of a bully. All the other kids are scared of her. She likes to beat up on them sometimes. But secretly, she's very sensitive inside, and she's in love with this other boy, and she writes poems about him, these beautiful, powerful poems. She's really, really smart, like I said. She's one of the smartest in the class, and she's really, really good at spelling. And she's just a really interesting character.
Done. Hey, shh.
I stopped.
You stopped at 31.
Oh, gosh. Well, you stopped at 15, seconds. So...
Yeah, it's just how good I am.
So like I mentioned, she is quite the poet. She has a number of different poems that she recites throughout the seasons of Hey Arnold. And so we decided for fun, this episode, we reached out to a bunch of different people we knew and asked them to perform some of her poems. And we're going to be sprinkling them throughout the episode. So every now and then you're gonna hear a poem from Helga. And these are 100% poems written by her and on the show.
Arnold, what a boob. What a smarty pants know-it-all, how I despise him. And yet, I love him. His noble curiosity, his keen powers of observation, his unfaltering sense of right and wrong. Oh, if only I could find the strength to tell him how much I adore him. If only there was some way I could let him know. Some way I could whisper my secret adoring thoughts so this fevered brow, dare I even think it, kiss the lips that haunt my girlish dreams. Oh, if only. If only. All my days have come to this, my secret heart spent in one kiss, and though it comes from a pretender, not me, but Juliet, the sender. May Arnold take my kiss for tender.
She does this when she looks at the football that she makes to look like Arnold's head. She basically just pours out her entire soul.
Right. Yeah, the boy she's in love with is this boy named Arnold who has a football-shaped head, and she has this ridiculous shrine made of him that she worships.
Right. Yeah, if you haven't seen the show, I recommend that you watch it. It's on, Joe, didn't you say it was on Hulu?
Yeah, the whole thing. Okay. Yeah, every season is on Hulu. And I went back and watched it, and it totally holds up for adults, a lot of the episodes, I think. It was fun to go back and watch. It wasn't just some dumb show that I watched as a kid. There are good lessons, and there are a sprinkling of adult humor throughout.
Yeah.
It's fun to kind of find those.
Yeah. Like I said, she is kind of like a millennial icon because so many millennials, I think, watched her growing up. But then when I was like talking to some of my coworkers who were born in like the 1970s, I was like, oh, one of our episodes is going to be Helga. And they're like, who? You know, Hey Arnold, what? They didn't. I think, you know, it's kind of a little too late for them, right? But even if you are someone who was born in, I don't know, 1980, 1970s, even earlier than that, 1940s, whatever, if you're still around, watch Hey Arnold anyway.
Right. Well, I remember when I was growing up, my parents, you know, didn't always want me to be watching TV all the time, but they felt a lot better about me watching TV if I was watching Hey Arnold, because they knew that it was a pretty decent show that taught really decent lessons about kids.
And speaking about lessons, speaking of lessons about kids, I'd say we start talking about Helga and how she teaches us certain things and how she helps us think about specifically emotions and how she makes us think about children's emotions in particular, and especially children who are in elementary school. Because they're all in elementary school, right? I assume they're, what, fourth, fifth grade?
Yeah, I think they start in fourth and they end in fifth or sixth at the end of the seasons.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't really talk about in either of our teasers is her family life situation, which I think plays into who she is quite a bit. Her father is a beeper salesman, which is kind of funny.
His career is probably over now.
But he's this big, tough guy who yells a lot, and he's like really involved in his work, and he loves winning and being the best at everything. Mom is kind of the opposite. She's kind of meek. She seems like she might be depressed. There are hints that she is probably an alcoholic, and just not very happy with her life. And it's also hinted very strongly that she's unhappy with her life because of her marriage, which is really unfortunate. Apparently, actually, before she got married to, I think his name is Bob. Is that right?
Probably.
Yeah. Seems like a Bob. Before she got married to him, she was actually a very active, outgoing person, and her marriage to him really kind of brought her down.
Yeah. And that's kind of crazy to think about, because sometimes in those scenes where it shows Helga's family life, some of it's used as humor, like, oh, this random black sheep of the family and kind of these weird people who yell a lot and have these two daughters and likes one way more than the other. It's kind of humorous, but then you also have this connection where if you like think about it a little more deeply, you're like, oh, wait a minute, this does not look like a very stable family home. But a lot of people have homes that are similar to this. And sometimes you gotta really think about how relatable this can be to other people watching this, even kids watching this, right? I'm sure, you know, some people can relate and be like, I remember how I felt like everyone liked my brother more than me, or everyone liked my sister more than I did, or my father was working a lot, I was home alone a lot, and all of our personalities kind of created a lot of drama that was really stressful, and how that can really affect even elementary school kids. And people don't really think about how kids are managing their emotions for various reasons, right? Like, oh, they're just a kid, you know, they're going to learn later in life not to manage their emotions by hitting someone in the face or calling someone names or being grumpy. Sometimes they're like, oh, they're just kids. But you really got to think about, should we really think about good therapy for children and how, you know, there's still like a stigma around therapy for adults? I think anyway that there's an even bigger stigma around therapy for kids. Like if someone tells another adult like, oh, my kid has to go to therapy, I think people automatically think, oh, there's something seriously wrong with your kid. But actually not. It's just they're in this life in a family home that can sometimes make them lash out and do things that Helga does, right? Who's very grumpy, calls people names, kind of acts like a bully in some ways. I mean, she's a villain. People have to consider these things more. And Helga kind of teaches us that.
Yeah. Until you had mentioned that to me, I had never even really thought that therapy could be for young children. I think I was in that dangerous mindset that was like, oh, they're children. They're still developing. There's no reason for them to be in therapy because they're still working themselves out and they'll learn as they grow up. But there's this one episode of Hey Arnold where Helga does go to therapy and it's really good for her. And the therapist like really teaches her that it's okay for her to be in touch with her emotions and it's okay for her to be feeling upset about some of the things that she's going through at home and to be unhappy with her family life. And no one had ever told her that before. And that was a really big relief for her in that episode. And I think that was really cool that they showed that on a children's television series.
I know, right? And I mean, she doesn't become perfect, right? And that's okay, but she improves. And when was this TV show airing? 90s, right? 1990s?
Yeah, pretty, I think like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, pretty progressive, I think.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Arnold, you idiot. I've always sworn it. I've always loved you. My darling, kiss me, my darling. Oh, Orzo-shaped Prometheus, wandering the dismal deserts of my tormented soul.
One of the other things that I learned about Helga when I was researching for this show is that she was actually based on a young Frida Kahlo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and if you don't know who Frida Kahlo is, you should definitely look her up. She was a famous painter, an activist.
She's a Mexican icon.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to look this up. If you do a Google search for young Frida Kahlo and Helga, you can actually see one of the pictures that her character was based on. You can really see the similarities. I mean, obviously, there's the big similarity, which is the unibrow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this picture
of... Even her face.
Yeah. In the picture of young Frida Kahlo, she even has a giant bow on her forehead, which is obviously very iconic for Helga's character. But besides just the appearance, thinking of Helga as based on Frida Kahlo really kind of opened my eyes to thinking about Helga and some of the other similarities they had within their lives. And obviously, Frida is a really, really famous artist. Helga is becoming an artist herself. And one of the things that they both share is kind of a difficult upbringing and having to face many obstacles throughout their life. And despite that, being able to defy those obstacles and succeed. And I think that's really cool and something we need to recognize in Helga. Maybe she's being kind of a bully, but she's also, despite the difficult situation she's in, she's overcoming those to still be incredibly intelligent and incredibly smart and create beautiful, powerful poetry.
Mm-hmm. Right. And can we just talk about like she's like a fifth grader-ish and the poetry that Helga Pataki can write is like just astounding. Like, and it rhymes too, right? Because Later in this episode, I wrote my own Helga Pataki-inspired poem. It's basically very similar to hers, but it's not hers, but I still made it exactly like it would, like something that she would write. And I realized that all of them rhyme. All of them have intense metaphors in every line. And I was like, wow, I think she could go get her like master's of fine arts at like Columbia, you know. But yeah, Helga just creates such great, compelling beauty, even with the football head shrine. You know, I can definitely see how the writers felt like drawing her, similar to Frida Kahlo. I can see that justified, and I can see why they would do that. Defiant. Speaking of defiance.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes when you are a person, sometimes you have to be defiant of certain things, especially this thing called the patriarchy, FYI. And what comes along with patriarchy, too, is this stupid thing called harassment. And what does Helga Pataki have to do with this? Well, so when I was watching this show, I thought it was hilarious every single time when Brainy comes up to her randomly, very randomly, and he's like... and punches him in the face, like, oh my God, that stupid idiot is right behind me again.
Right. And when you say he comes up randomly, he comes up all the time. Like,
yeah.
Just about every time Helga's there, you can count on Brainy being somewhere over her shoulder watching her. Total creep.
Yeah. And I was like, every time I watched it, I was like, who is this guy? Like, how does he find her all the time? Ha ha ha. And then I had a very, you know, concerning thought. And I was like, oh my God, he's a stalker. Like, wow. Like, if you think about it that way, like, because he comes up, like you said, he comes up all the time. And it just kind of shows, you know, especially in our research, some articles wrote about this too, how Helga is here to defy that issue of people, even in general, being harassed, being stalked, and how you might come across as very aggressive, right? Like, for example, when I'm in a bar, right? And someone comes up to me and they're like, and a lot of women have experienced this, like, oh, let me buy you a drink, let me buy you a drink. And they're very pushy about it. And sometimes as a woman, you have to be very pushy back in order to have them get the picture. But you can come off as a bitch. You can come off as a straight up bitch, even though they were the ones who were being very aggressive in the first place. And so sometimes when people would watch Helga, they were like, oh, that was kind of mean. She just punched him in the dang face. Maybe he meant well. He was still in her space, unannounced, and you have to have some sympathy and empathy for Helga in that way. I don't know, we can kind of understand her anger and aggression towards him.
Yeah. I remember when I was watching the show as a kid, I just kind of brushed away this whole thing with Brainy. I thought it was just some funny gag where this dude showed up and she punched him in the face. But when you really start to think what effect his presence might have had on Helga, you can really sympathize with her that this guy was always there standing behind her, and that creepy breathing he always did must have been obnoxious. Mm-hmm. You referenced an article about this, and I want to read a quotation from it. It's a Huffington Post article titled In Defense of Helga Pataki. And the quotation says, in a sea of elementary students who more or less stuck to the status quo, Helga was there to remind little girls that they don't have to be nice to boys who make them uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I wish I would have known that in elementary school. I was chased around a lot by boys. Mm-hmm. Not going to brag. But, but no, that was hard, right? Because, yeah, it was unpleasant.
Yeah.
Colics, like fields of yellow corn, all the days of my week, I write the name I dare not speak. The boy with the cornflower hair, my beloved, and my despair.
And speaking about elementary school, I have, like, you know, a personal connection to Helga that also helps me kind of empathize with her a bit, is just her absolute desire for Arnold, and how even children are kind of trying to, they're first discovering these feelings. There's a lot of hormonal things that are happening right before puberty hits, even way before puberty hits, which is kind of weird. I don't know why this happens, but it does. Where, like, you have this intense crush on a boy when you're in elementary school. And I remember in probably 2000, 2001-ish, I was in, like, second and third grade. First grade is when I started having crushes on boys. And there was this boy that I liked for like 5 years, like the whole time of elementary school. And I would take his school photo and I would listen to Britney Spears, Baby One More Time. And I would sing Britney Spears while staring at his photo on my bed. And my mom could probably hear me do this all the time. But like, and I would just sing Britney Spears at the top of my lungs. And I don't know, it's just very relatable. We've all been a Helga, or a lot of us have been a Helga, even during our college years, our adult years, right? Where in our minds, we're probably like reciting poetry, but we don't really say it out loud. And but that's also kind of the beauty of being a child, right? Is that you're discovering these emotions, so you're not as apologetic. And so she just locks herself in her closet, but then she just pours out everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that, but that's something that I can definitely relate to, and I think a lot of people can, is just this this raw emotion and that's built up inside of you. And I've never really been good about releasing that, but Helga found a way to release that. And whether I think we like to admit it or not, I think that kind of obsession and extreme interest and excitement about something, whether it be a person that you are interested in romantically or even a hobby, I think a lot of us want to express that, but we're scared to because we come off as if we're crazy. And that's what's happening with Helga too, is she doesn't feel like she can express those powerful emotions out in public. So she does it in private. And I think we can all relate to that desire to express our extreme excitement about things and not feeling like we're able to out in public because it might cause us some embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking for a while now. And if I didn't know any better, I'm not even sure that I would have any reason to believe that Helga is a villain.
Yeah, that's probably part of the reason why we didn't even think about her, because I don't think I ever thought that she was a villain. I knew she was kind of mean, you know, like, because I mean, she is kind of mean, and that's kind of what makes her a villain is, you know, people are kind of afraid of her at elementary school, and she makes fun of Arnold a lot, and it's definitely not someone I would probably be friends with in elementary school. Mm-hmm. Probably would have thought she was a villain.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting because she clearly does a lot of bad things. She's very aggressive and she beats up other kids all the time. But one of the interesting thing about children that doesn't always make it into adulthood is this ability to kind of forgive some of those things and still come together as a group. So even though Helga still beats up on all the kids, they still manage to all come together and find ways to have fun and hang out together because they realize that they're all in the same class and they're all around the same age and they are who they have. So despite their differences, they still manage to come together and have fun. And I think that's really cool and something that we aren't often good at as adults, but kids seem to be really good at it.
Yes.
Your eyes, like two green jelly beans, are pools I want to bathe in. My head doth swoon, and yet I want to beat your face in.
One thing that we're going to be doing this season that we didn't do last season is end our discussion with some like real world takeaways. You know, talking about these villains is really interesting and a lot of fun, but we also want to make sure that what we're talking about, we can take out into the real world and use to help us understand other people and be more empathetic. So for me, one of the big takeaways I get from Helga is that she teaches me to remember that there is often a lot more to people than what I can see in my interactions with them. Like if I only knew Helga at elementary school, I would think that she is this angry, aggressive person, and I would never know that she has this soft, sensitive, smart, poetic side. And so I think about the people that I interact with in my job or just out in the world, and maybe I'm only seeing one side of them. If I don't like the way that they're acting, maybe that's because they're only presenting one side of themselves to me, and maybe they aren't presenting that other side because they're embarrassed or they don't know how others will react. And I should be able to consider that there are other sides that I can't see. And so I think that's something that Helga really teaches me that I can bring into my daily life.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I guess my real world takeaway, we kind of already touched on it in the very beginning, but, you know, we'll see, everything can change. I hope to have at least one child in my life. You know, I don't know whether I'd be brave enough to birth one out. I don't know. But, you know, I hope to have a child or two. And I think if I become a parent, Helga teaches me that I can tell my child it's okay to have these emotions and to also be very honest about them, but also teach them how to manage it and to understand that if my child or someone else's child really has to go to therapy for any type of reason, right, even if it's just to make life a little better, that there's nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't mean your child is crazy or stupid or something's awful. It just means that we're all human.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And with that, you know, you've been hearing other people reciting Helga Pataki's poems throughout this whole episode. We're going to end with a poem that I wrote that's still very, 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 very much inspired by Helga Pataki's poetry. Hope you enjoy. Ugh. Arnold, his stupid ideas, how dumb his face looks when he peers down our garbage-infested hallway. I want to wipe that pleasant look off his face. I hate him. And yet, I love him. Oh, Arnold, how your existence is the first of my desires. My heart only seeks out the way you instill my fires. It's agonizing you never noticing my cries at the locker as I slam down my stalker. You never feel my presence when I scream your name to the heavens. We don't even hold families near, but I only want to hold you, dear. The way your golden head comes from the gods, how us together could create the odds of us ending up in a Neverland paradise, a land of glorious days that will always clearly suffice. How you make everything in my world melt, how my ice capsules have to handle what was dealt. The only way to ever be given what I want, what I need most, is to be there when no one's left from here to the coast. Someday, I will break through the sharpened glass of fear, fight for our days together to be near. Some days I'm hopeful. Some days everything feels impossible. I need to fight to speak the truth. I need to fight to be with you.
And that's it for this episode of Next Door Villain. If you've got your own thoughts about Helga Pataki, we would love to hear them. Feel free to shoot us an email at nextdoorvillain@gmail.com. You can also connect with us on Twitter at nextdoorvillain. This episode and every episode is produced, written, and recorded by myself, Joe Anderson, and Christiana Hennings. This week, we'd like to send a special thanks to Emily Cox and Aaron Leese. They are the wonderful people who recorded their own interpretations of Helga's poems that you heard scattered throughout the episode today. So thank you. Those were really awesome. If you're enjoying the show, we would really encourage you to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And we'll be back again in your feeds in 2 weeks with our episode on Norman Bates.